You are now listening to the Hack My Age podcast, the show that brings you guests for the woman going through the menopause journey. I'm your host, Zora Benamou, a gerontologist, certified sports nutrition, menopause, and breathing coach. I'm the author of The Longevity Master Plan and the cookbook Eating for Longevity. And if you're a woman in perimenopause or postmenopause, check out the programs on the hackmyage.com website to biohack and optimize your menopause experience, because menopause is inevitable, but suffering is optional. So now please head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review to help others find us too. This is a really important point because it costs nothing, but makes a huge impact for me to support a podcast for menopausal women to normalize this conversation about menopause and attract even more amazing guests to the show for you and for me. You can now watch all of our podcast interviews on the Hack My Age YouTube channel. Some of our guests bring slideshows, so it's really great to have. Every week, there is a new video, so just search Hack My Age on YouTube.com or find the link on the Hack My Age website. Today's podcast is sponsored by the Institute of Bioidentical Medicine, which is the authority when it comes to understanding bioidentical hormones. And right now, I am in the middle of taking their menopause method course, and I am so impressed. This is a self-paced course designed by Dr. David Rosensweet, who's been treating women going through menopause for nearly 3 decades. I can highly recommend this program, particularly if you are a doctor or someone who's actually prescribing hormones to women for menopause. And if you're not, that's okay. Make an appointment at iobim.org to find out more about the program to see if you're a candidate for the menopause method. And ask for a discount with the code Zora, Z-O-R-A. And if you're just looking for a qualified doctor who's highly trained in menopause medicine, check out their sister site, brite.live. Empower yourself with information and a doctor that you can trust, because menopause is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Hello, age disruptors. Today, I'm recording this podcast with a live studio audience. All of you attending this recording now are members of the Hack My Age VIP program. And part of being in this exclusive club is the ability to dial in and watch the interviews as they are recorded. And you can ask your own questions. If you want to be a part of this amazing community, go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/hackmyage and sign up not only for these cool interviews, but so much more.
So I can pretty much bet you're going to listen to the very end of this podcast because it's just going to be too juicy and too much fun. And today we're going to talk with two of my very dear friends, Nicola and Di, who are ahead of me in the menopause game and have been cruising through without much of a hitch. So they're going to dish out their secrets for us today. Now, I first met Nicola Dale at one of my health retreats in Phuket, Thailand. I think it's like 5 years ago or so. And yeah, we hit it off like two peas in a pod. And have you guys ever had one of those friends where the day you met, you just knew you'd be friends for life? Well, that's me and Nicola. And then less than a year later, Nicola brought one of her closest and longest lasting friends, Di Edwards, to the next retreat. And we also hit it off. So we're going to talk more about how we met and what these women were going through during that time. But before we do, here's a little background on these two gems. Now, Nicola is a seasoned professional with a rich background in the aviation industry, having served as an international flight attendant with Qantas for over 30 years. Yep, she's an Aussie. Yep. And she's
touch up before she touches down.
Take off, baby. Enjoy the ride.
Touch up, as in touch up.
And Nicola is really truly
what?
Come on, little lips.
Touched up before she touches down.
All
right, I'll do it with her.
It's a little hosty trick.
She's taught me this.
So kisses to everybody.
Moving on, we just had to do that.
Yeah, I did. I flew the airlines for a long time, and my God, it was a blast.
So let's talk about Di Edwards. She's also from Australia, and she's got loads of experience as a television host in Australia and is in the real estate industry in addition to her new job. And guess what that is? She and Nicola decided to join forces to create Over the Back Fence, which is the podcast where I think I laugh out loud the most. And,
and if that's what we're all about. You've got to have a good time, Zora.
Stop.
Where she laughs out the most, I couldn't stop laughing the last time we chatted.
No,
I was choking, trying to hold
back. We were just saying that we've done over 40 podcasts, and the one with you, Zora, was just the one that we haven't laughed more than anything. It was the word spermidine is going to be sort of like, you know, sort of like brain forever. And hey, what a good thing to have. You can't get enough. Is that it?
Oh, that's so good. That's good news because we recorded this a couple weeks ago. I encourage everyone listening now to go and listen to that interview. I'll have the link in the show notes. But we talked about sex and spermidine and menopause with like no filters.
Well, so, if I have one more person ask me about spermidine, I'm like, go on to Hack My Age, get on to Zora, exactly. She'll explain it because all I did was laugh, which is shocking, but it was fun.
And the feedback already, I've had girlfriends who said, I've gone to see my doctor now, and now they're on HRT and whatever, and then they've asked them, can you order me in some spermidine?
Oh, that's so funny.
I think I like your way of getting it, though.
Yeah, we heard that. That was so cheeky. We love you for that, Zora.
Yeah, and if you guys
what makes you who you are.
If anybody wants to know what that way is, you're going to have to go listen to the podcast.
That's it.
Really,
The back fence, baby.
Yeah, it's really over the back fence. So normally, after my introduction, I say, so now, without further ado, let's have a good laugh about menopause and meet Di and Nicola. But everybody's already met you. So,
hey, well, we're going to say thank you for having us. Isn't it an honor to be on your podcast?
Yeah, you know, I'm so excited for you.
I know.
It's just, Hack My Age is out there gazelle. And it's beautiful how you incorporate the community too to come to get involved. We'd like to do a bit of that next year with us.
Your knowledge and how much you help so many people is just fantastic.
You can say something soon if you want.
It's great. So you try and get a word in now, Zora.
Good luck with that one.
Oh, I love you guys.
Hey, we're Aussies.
Yes. You are special.
Turning water into wine.
Hey, cheers to that one.
Yeah, cheers to that. Cheers, darling. Yours is a little bit more empty than mine.
I got some lipstick gloss on it, Mark.
Oh, great. So you guys have got to watch this on the YouTube because, this is great. If you're going to get so many more laughs, just watch it.
You can throw a question at us. We'll let you go for it.
Okay.
Shoot us anything.
Yeah, we're going to shoot a lot of questions as much as we can because we're so limited on time. So let's get going. I want to share a little bit because you guys have known each other for ages. I don't know. Was it 30 years or so? How long?
Try 40.
40.
Try another 40. Yep.
Gosh.
I know.
Wow.
Is that because we're older when you go, oh my God, or is that because of 40 years?
It's the life.
Even though we were that old. Right? That happened.
You met at babies.
Before we were born or something.
Yeah, that's a good one. We met when we were born. That's a good one. I'll run with that.
We've been friends forever. Decades and decades and decades.
You guys actually do share a back fence, and that's how your podcast came to be, right?
Can you believe that? That's so true. We do.
People
share
come to my house and go, okay, where's the fence? Where's the back fence? Yeah. Where's Nicola? Where's the back fence? Yeah. And I go, hello, would you like a drink? Like,
Let's share a little bit about how you guys met and your lives pre-menopause and then what it looks like post-menopause. So let's start with Nicola first. What's your story and how you guys met?
Okay, well, lucky me, because I sort of come back from Melbourne and I went to a dinner party, and who's sitting right opposite me is Di Edwards. Mm-hmm. And Di was newly fresh back from a honeymoon, I think, in Mykonos or something. Anyhow, just like how you and I met, Zora, how you click with somebody, within, I would say, 5 minutes of our conversation, it was just like, wow, we're engaged. We were just like so into each other and what each other said.
Engaged.
You're just in our conversations. And then it was like literally 2 days later, Di saying, right, come up to my place and let's have a cocktail or a cup of tea.
Wouldn't have been tea.
No.
Definitely not. That Long Island team, maybe.
My back fence. And seriously, that was, and at that stage then, I was in my early 20s. And I'd only really moved up from Melbourne. I was, you know, 22 and just got the gig with the airlines. And I met Di. And it was just great. And bingo, our friendship has formed. And it's just got stronger and stronger.
And you know what's interesting about this is I remember Mum, who had 8 children, I remember Mum saying to me, the girlfriends you make when you have your children are the ones you'll have for life.
Yeah.
And of course, we've both had 2 children each and, you know, explored and, you know, that we've shared that and we've experienced that together. And I really do believe those words because the trials and tribulations of childbearing is like, oh, my boobs, oh, my this, oh, my that, whatever. And someone there in your wings, you know. It's golden.
And got to just say on that point too, because when I met Di too, it was before I was married. So Di, you've come to my wedding. You've come to my parents' funeral. You know, you've come to the big ticket items in your life, you know, my kids' milestones, birthdays.
Yeah.
We've been in each other's lives for the really good times and the really rotten times.
Yeah.
And so we've really shared, you know, we have a laugh along the way, but gee, we've been in times when we've been rock
and
bottom.
Naughty. That's why I love her.
Yeah, cheeky.
We can both be a bit cheeky.
Yeah.
And that to me, when I met Nicola, that was, I knew she was a Melbourne girl. And for some of your listeners that probably don't know Australia that well, Melbourne's more the conservative, in my opinion, more the conservative city. Sydney's a little bit more out there, whatever. And I thought when I met her, I went, oh, she's from Melbourne. I was going, yeah, right. and you know, because Nicola's always so exquisitely dressed, and you know, I think you might have had the pearls, whatever. I'm going, yeah,
I always have the pearls.
We'll sort her out.
I've got the Tahitian pearls.
But then it was like this. That was that beautiful Melbourne image. But then under that, it was like this. Yeah, let's embrace life. Life's so short. And we literally haven't stopped running since.
No.
Literally,
no.
It's
no.
just the way it goes.
Mm. Oh, that's so cool.
And you know what? We find it. We see it as a gift. You know, really, we do. And every day, and I suppose it's a thing. It's a bit corny when they go, you live with gratitude, but we certainly do. And I certainly don't take my friendship with you or with other friends.
And honesty, too. Like I can say,
oh, yeah.
I totally disagree with that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
Does very much right. a great student.
You know, and Nicola will go, and she'll break it down. Like if we do blah, blah, blah. And I go, yeah, maybe. No, not really. And or Nicola will go, no, I think we should be doing that. Not why? And I think that like any relationship in your world, if you have honesty and communication, that's gold. You know?
In anything, a relationship, a marriage, communication is the key.
It is.
And we always got to work on it.
Hold on. What do they say? Time.
Time.
Talk. Touch. Yeah. Well, that's not with us. That's within a relationship.
Yeah.
Well, wait. What was that? Time. Talk. Time. Talk.
Haven't you heard of that one?
No,
they're the three things. They say in a successful, say, even a marriage or relationship, the tips is time you spend together, talking,
communicating,
listening to one another. So time, talk, and touch.
Yeah.
Because that's really important.
Yeah.
Aww. Those three things.
Oh, I love
that. So they're three little tips from 2 Aussie chickies here.
You guys hit the jackpot with each other because it doesn't always happen, right? And I'm ever since I met you, and then you introduced me to Di, and then your other circle of women. I was
Sherry, DJ, and we've got to say Sam's our producer who's in the room too. So we want to include her now too because she's sort of part of it. But I think also Zora is when you've got a good friend, and I think, I mean, everyone rolls differently, but I'm always the thing, good thing is to share the love and the good times. If you've got something good, share your friends, introduce it to other people. And I think that's a really good thing, you know. Some things, you know, you've kept your privacy. We all have our boundaries, but I think it's a really nice thing to grow the community. And that's where we really started out with Over the Back Fence podcast. Because, you know,
we're nominated in a bottle of champagne.
It did. Yeah. What do they say? The Gail and Oprah is what the Americans and you're for LA Chicky is it what the, you know, they're calling us now because we've been, you know, besties for so long. And
yeah, it's true. Yeah. We're blessed.
You are blessed.
How lucky were we, you know, so we hit the jackpot in finding
you. Sorry, got a word in there.
And you, coming to Phuket Cleanse, we're the ones that got the jackpot in you, Zora.
Aww,
okay, over to you,
love
Zora.
You. Oh, my gosh, full-on girl crush now. Love it. You guys, I'm so fortunate. I just wish I could be there physically. I have that touch part with you guys more often because I think.
This episode is sponsored by Oxford HealthSpan. the creators of my favorite supplement, Primadine. I admit it, I am a total supplement junkie, but if I had to choose only one, it would be this one. And it's because Primadine is spermidine, and this is shown to activate autophagy, which is super important. Now, this is a cellular cleanup and recycling process that declines as we age. So as we get older, our cells accumulate a lot of junk and waste, which isn't good for our cells, our health, nor our longevity. So we need to clean it up. And if you want the research on this, go to oxfordhealthspan.com and you can see all of it, showing how spermidine supports our brain, our hormones, and our heart health. And another great side effect is stronger hair, skin, and nails, but also longer eyelashes. But you know, the real important reason why I love Primadine is because I have never, ever received as much feedback on a product I recommended as I have with Primadine. Literally every week, someone reaches out to me on Facebook or Instagram with an amazing testimonial. And most of the time, it's about improved sleep. And even some of you told me it's reversed a bit of your gray hair too. So I find that totally amazing. So I can honestly say with 100% certainty that Primadine is the best spermidine supplement you'll ever find. And you can try it with a 15% discount by using the code Zora, Z-O-R-A, on oxfordhealthspan.com. Just be sure to get back to me with your results too. Now enjoy the show.
As I was on your podcast, we talked about the Harvard study of adult development. And I mentioned to you guys, and people who've been listening to the podcast has heard me talk over and over about this study and how one of the best secrets of aging and longevity, have a long, healthy, happy life, is strong, positive relationships. And you guys are going to live to 250, I'm sure, minimum.
We hope so. Well, you're our cheerleader and, you know, you're leading the way. So thank you, Zora.
Well, that was fascinating, though.
It really was.
When we're interviewing Zora, because I can't remember the leading question, but it was something on the lines of, okay, so hack my age, you know, like with all that information, well, in my case, sometimes it's overload because I'm really into that. I think, well, what's the latest stats? Where are you up to with the research? And you came back to this basic study that's been going since, am I right, the 1940 or something?
1938, yeah.
1938. And I'm thinking, oh, God, this is going to be great. Like, I've got to eat more, you know, have more magnesium or more, you know.
Spermidine.
Like collagen. What is it? Where are we at? Yeah. You went, relationships.
Friendship.
Touch.
Yeah. And two people. I sort of said, you just need one, but you need two and two would be a backup. And
I was blown away. Zora, you blew me away.
Oh.
Because that study, well, how many people were in that study over this period of time up to this present day?
Oh, gosh, there must be thousands because they started with a cohort of students from Harvard. Which, you know, first they were all men and then they went and got the wives and then they got the children and the offspring. And it just goes on and on. It's one of the longest longitudinal studies in the world. Actually, that's a good question. I should find out how many people in total, but it's a lot. It's enough to have good data.
It's fabulous. That's what I'm happy to be on. Next question, yes, please.
Darling, we're in your hands. Otherwise, we'll never stop.
No, but it's fun to be on the other side of the podcast, though, isn't it?
I'm going to get my little fan from Spain. Sorry, I'm a bit Malaga.
Let's talk a little bit about menopause. And there are a couple of things that I want to ask because, Di, if I heard you correctly, and I know this about you said your mom had 8 kids, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about her menopause too, but let's first talk about your menopause experience, your transition. When I say menopause, it's such a broad word. I hate, using it because I use it and many people use it as the perimenopause experience, which is leading up to that one day event of when you have 12 consecutive months without a period, that's menopause. And then there's postmenopause. And so what we're generally talking about in this podcast is really that experience, that transition into menopause, because you girls are in menopause now, and you'll probably live half your life in menopause. So it's kind of an important topic. And I'd like to know a little bit about your perimenopause experience, like leading up to menopause. Tell me a little bit of what that was like, because you guys have had you're really positive. You're really resilient. And I'm sure there've been some kind of bumps in the road. How do you stay positive? What was that experience like? And give us some.
I'm really glad you're asking this, because you know why? Because I remember when we were interviewing you, and I reflected on it and I said, oh no, Nika and I never experienced menopause. But you came back, rightly so, and said, well, actually, you did go through menopause. You're saying you didn't have the symptoms. And it was very important to identify that. Coming back to menopause, and I will start with mum, because I have to be honest, my mum came from a very different era to me and to these young girls, right? Menopause wasn't really spoken about, sadly, in those days. What would mum be now? She was like probably 100. It was sort of seen and not heard. Oh, you'll be right, sweetheart. Up and at 'em. Just get over it. And I just think on that note, when you mentioned mum, no, mum never mentioned to me that she went through menopause. I do believe maybe she had periods after 8 children. I think every woman would anyway. Periods of, you know, maybe low, feeling low and probably tired and whatever. But again, that era, it wasn't acknowledged or honoured and therefore wouldn't have been respected. It was just move it on. In my case, you know, so many decades on, I can honestly say, yes, as you said, I've gone through menopause at the ripe age of 64. I cannot have children. That's a fact, everybody.
Hopefully not. I say never say never die. I don't believe this. I think there's nothing I can't do. So let's just see what happens.
Can you imagine? And I went a new baby?
A grandbaby, though.
Was it? Yeah. 48. My period stopped when I was 48. Yeah. So, and a lot of my sisters were the same. But I honestly can't say, and again, I didn't really hone in on it other than I think because both Nika and I came from families where our parents were particularly, our dads were remarkable, really uplifting, you know, life's for living and age is but a number and, you become what you believe, you know, it's all about attitude.
Mindset.
Yeah, and overcoming that. So, and having said that, I feel blessed because there's so many women that go through, you know, sleepless nights and, you know, they're putting on weight and, you know, there's so many different consequences to menopause. And my God, my heart goes out. And we have a mutual girlfriend that had the night sweats and the going for dinner sweats. We'd always be like, oh my God, you know. She takes a herbal tablet, which works for her. But yeah, so my experience in menopause, quite honestly, was I think I dealt with it with attitude and staying busy and active and just up and at 'em.
That's funny you said that because I literally just posted a new reel, you know, my 1 minute reels from a woman from Australia. And she said exactly the same thing. And she was 80 years old, looked friggin' fabulous.
Must be the water in Australia.
Wow.
There's something about Australia.
I think I've seen that one. Sorry, let's see this with an Aussie. But I loved hearing that about with you saying about your mother and that generation, two people didn't talk about it and how things have changed now. And Zora, you're just like making everyone aware of it. And it just seems to be on a global thing. And it's a conversation now, which is so cool. Whereas for us, it was a bit more. I did talk to my mum about when she had, you know, went through menopause, and she basically had said she was fortunate. She sort of sailed through it. And I thought I'd sailed through it pretty much too. But what I loved about in the podcast too with you, you're going, look under the hood. So sometimes you mightn't have those symptoms of the sweatiness and whatever. But, you know, I had the thing of looking under the hood. I ended up probably having signs of early osteoporosis, and I ended up having a hip replacement. So that was post menopause, whether that was the cause factor or not, but it was a contributing thing. So I think that was a really great takeaway for a lot of women who may not suffer those big things. But the other thing, if I can share it too, is with menopause too, and just with my experience of, you know, having, I was a bit later, I was probably like nearly in my mid-50s, but like
could have had a baby,
54, whatever, when I ended up, it was my last, but it's funny, when my marriage broke down, and I hadn't had my period for quite a while, and it was sort of like, you know, it sort of stops a bit, and I just thought it was all over, and the week, it actually ended quite abruptly, and I knew it ended, and my dog died that week, and there was all those things there, and that week, I actually got the mother of all periods I've ever had, like one that I've never, you know, like clotting and then the whole thing, and talk about fetal position. I was in agony. It was unbelievable. And it's funny. I knew, I actually, you know, gut feeling instinctively knew that that was my last period of my life. It was like the end of that transition of that period of my marriage and how your body can do that. And it actually was. And then after that,
how old were you then?
About 54, I think, 53, 54, you know, when it happened. And, you know, so it's really amazing how I acknowledged that. And that just happened that same week. And it was one that I hadn't had for years and years and years because I never suffered it that much. But that was sort of so with the emotional thing. And I kind of knew, and that's exactly was the case. And then my body was actually fine. But as you say, look under the hood, other things can happen.
Absolutely. Bone density is a huge thing.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I love hearing these stories, and that's why I share them so much.
Me too.
Emotional things are huge.
Yeah, too. Absolutely. Mind over body. Yeah, absolutely.
What I also like to hear are siblings. So because you have the same DNA, more or less, and like you, so die with your, you come.
I don't think Nicola's brother went through.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the only chickie, but this one,
that's a really good point, actually.
Yeah, it's
about that. Likewise, when we all share it, the sisters, we all just go, like you said, we went through menopause, but no real symptoms.
They all had a similar experience as you.
Yes.
So that's a genetic thing then too. Interesting.
It could be.
Five girls.
So it's a really good test case, isn't it?
It is. You know, it is. Well, I just interviewed another woman from Vietnam and she and her sister had wildly different experiences. So I was like, wow, interesting. Yeah. Like, you know, so I was trying to make conclusions as I go through these reels, but you never know. This is not like a controlled study, but it is interesting to see everybody's different experiences.
And like, I guess for you, Zora, losing your mum so early, did you have the opportunity of ever asking her about menopause?
No, I didn't. I was only 23 when she died. So I didn't. But I do.
Sister, she got siblings, mom?
She does, actually. She
does. Check with them?
Well, one died soon after her, unfortunately. And then the other two. Yeah, I should ask them, actually. I should. It's a good question. I just don't know. I think they're going to be from the era. Well, they will not talk about it. They'll just go. Yeah. Whatever, pull up your socks. Like, that's just their attitude.
Exactly. Get over it.
Get over it. Yeah. My God. I mean, and I noticed that when I interview women who have gone through major physical struggle in their lives, whether they've been through a war, whether they've been through famine, whether they've had multiple operations from diseases, and they're in their 60s or 70s, and I ask them how menopause, they're like, relatively speaking, oh my God, this is nothing. This is easy. Like, I don't even think about it. I don't even talk about it because they've struggled so much with other things that, which is surviving. And I think it's just not even a, you know, like, don't even ask me, but I didn't even think, like, what kind of question is that? Yeah. Like, talk to me about the war. And here in Vietnam, you know, I'm meeting a lot of women as well. And it's just kind of, interesting.
Actually, on that note, here's me interviewing Zora. Sorry.
Yeah.
Culturally, do you find, does it differ with different cultures, menopause? Yes.
There's some things that are the same and some things that are different. Right. That's what we're putting together because now I'm in a lot of comments on the reels that I've been posting from North American women. Because a lot of the women I'm interviewing share quite positive stories. And I don't set this up. I have no agenda. I just want them to tell the truth. I don't care. And most of them are positive or like, hey, you know what? Not too bad. It was actually fine. Or I had some hot flashes or, you know, and I get people think, and there are a lot of women from Europe that have been interviewing lately, and some of them are from the North America. So the North Americans are going, what is it in the water in Europe? Like, why aren't they suffering like we are? And perhaps, you know, I haven't interviewed enough. Perhaps there is some differences in Vietnam so far. I get definitely women are having the same symptoms, but they don't seem to pay as much attention to it and they don't fear it. Like I've been the way I, my understanding of menopause in North America and Europe as well. So, but
that's fascinating.
Interesting. Yeah, what about with the aging? Because we've sort of acknowledged, remember you're saying, you know, about the wrinkly arms.
How young we are. Yeah.
And I think it's that the elasticity in the skin that goes, and that sucks.
And that's estrogen.
Like, go, isn't it? You know,
estrogen, is that estrogen?
Yeah, estrogen. Yeah.
A loss of estrogen, has a lot to do. That's why some women put their hormone therapy on their face too. So they're like, okay, let's just get a little bit of estrogen in my face.
I put it everywhere. So, thanks. Yeah. I need to get rid of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, you can
find you. We're looking we're, for our age. Yeah. Bloody fabulous. I might
have. Well, you've got to have, yeah. You've got to have a bit of self belief, don't you?
Bit of spermidine rubbing in away. You go.
That's our favorite thing now.
You can put it where you wish.
That's what I want for Christmas.
Yes.
All I want for Christmas is some sperm.
Actually, I have asked Primadine. Primadine is the one that I take. And I said, Primadine is the brand of spermidine. That's the only one I take. Yeah. And I think I asked them.
They sponsor us.
Yeah. Well, the way we're going, yeah. I might as well. Tell you what.
They are a sponsor of our podcast. And I don't take many sponsors at all.
Introductions, thank you, Zora.
Yes, but I asked them. I said, "Why don't you make a skincare line with spermidine? Yes. Like we should be rubbing this on our face.
Absolutely, seriously. Wow.
Yeah,
yeah,
let's do that.
Could
be
yeah, if she doesn't do it, or, then they're gonna someone else is gonna do it. But and
exactly
that's when
right.
Hey. I'm butting in for a quick second. If you enjoy the content brought to you in this podcast, consider supporting Hack My Age by becoming a patron on patreon.com. This is where you can drop a tip or become a member for the price of a coffee. Members get special material, free coaching, and private Zoom calls. Join us by going to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/hackmyage. Thanks for your support. Now let's get back to the podcast.
A couple other questions before I let you go, because I know we got a good 20 minutes. How, in your experience in this transition, have you ever taken hormone therapy or considered taking it? And what were your thoughts about it at the time?
Look, I haven't. And it's interesting because I really like it that you're sort of saying, you know, that with the HRT and how it is all natural. And I was on the contraceptive pill for so many years, and I know a lot of people wouldn't like that. And I know people were against that. For me, I was kind of lucky. I enjoyed being on it. I liked flying with the airlines. I liked control of when I had my period and when I didn't. If I was going to be in Tahiti for that week, I didn't want to have it, you know. And so I sort of, that's how I rolled. And I rolled that way really until my period nearly sort of stopped. So I would have been open to it, but I just didn't feel that I had the need for it. But I tell you what, I'm so for people getting more and more checks and you know, I'm certainly open. It would have been absolutely open for it, you know, and
yeah,
I think it's good to get
funny,
tested.
You know, because I talk to a lot of women like in their 60s now, and what tends to surface more than anything I find is during sex, and that can be painful, much drier than what it was previously. And I think there's certainly a case for HRT or, you know, something along those lines. There's creams and there's many ways to administer it. that's sort of, to me, I think is, I mean, so far so good for
me. I think I could actually go on that. What about that sex challenge that Zora did?
Oh my God.
Well, I tell you what.
Was that a month every day for a month?
Every day for a month.
Every day for a month and did that. And I was going, I thought that could be a back fence challenge. So if anyone's there, they can let us know how it goes.
It's a funny thing. Coming back to your question about hormone replacement therapy. Mm. I think I replace my hormones. This is just personally. Everyone's different.
Mm.
I replace it with my walks that soothe my head. I replace it with the gym that strengthens my body. I replace it with Pilates that stretches me. I come out like super tall. You know, you see everyone crunched over their organs. Pilates stretches me out. And I also do infrared and ice baths. I find them miraculous. So I guess ultimately, as I said previously, and this is my new mantra till I die, is you are what you believe. So if I think I'm stupid, if I think I'm foolish, if I think I'm intelligent, if I think I'm fantastic, if I think you become that, and that washes over every cell in your body. So I guess ultimately what I'm trying to say, I think moving through this transition, I do believe attitude. And as Nicola said, gratitude is plays a huge role. It sounds a bit woo-woo, but I think it plays a huge role in every part of your body.
I agree with Di too, and Di is a huge swimmer. The ocean is a gift for you.
Terrified of sharks. I go for 2 minutes.
In Australia too, but I think, you know, we're most of us are lucky that we do have those you know, you've got the beach and you can walk on the sand. And I think that thing of touching base with Mother Nature is a good thing. And not that we say, didn't do that before menopause, but it's one of those things now. I think we even make an extra effort into it. It really is your mindset, your lifestyle, and it's a thing of like mental fitness, and it's like trying to have a positive attitude. You work at it every day. It's the same thing of, you know, building those muscles in, you know, in the gym. It's the same thing of trying to have a happy outlook, and it's acknowledging when life is bad and tough.
Yeah.
So I think
rather than writing it, pushing it down,
sit in it, and going, you know, and you said even last week I had a really shitty week, you know, and I think it's acknowledging that, being real, having support from girlfriends, and then also having the honesty, going, you know what, I actually need some time out to myself at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think all those, just sometimes they're just the natural Mother Nature tools, and you know, you want to have that for life. And I think,
and you know what, you're
students of life.
She's right. What Nick was just saying about girlfriend, I don't think we even covered that, because it's not so much advice as holding the space for you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Holding the space. In other words, tears, banging the fist. You know,
we've done it all.
Sadness, like, you know, a traumatic experience, whatever. But someone allowing that space for you to share that, rather than the advice, is everything. And I know Nika is a girlfriend. I just feel that we didn't really touch on this, is that she's amazingly positive as a human being, but fabulous girlfriend to allow space. Because it's funny, when you're in sync, the words need not be spoken. There's an energy there. And that's something I think is lacking in our society today. People aren't allowing the time and space to tune into that energy, because all the power is there.
Oh, wow. You're so right. And this is the foundation of biohacking. You know, people don't understand. They think we're all about supplements and gadgets and tools and data, and that's part of it. But the foundation is everything that you mentioned, everything that's Mother Nature, everything that's grounding. And that makes such a huge impact. I agree. And as much as I am a huge fan of bioidenticals, which I wasn't before, but I would always say you cannot out-hormone a bad diet and lifestyle. And what you quoting here is a good lifestyle.
Can you repeat that, Zora? Could you just repeat that? Just repeat what you just said. That got me.
That might just go in our book.
Yeah, no, I'm liking this one.
Yeah, no, you can't out hormone a bad diet and lifestyle. You need these foundation, right?
Yeah, doesn't it? Yeah,
and that's one side of the coin. So for sure, I'm 100%. And I grew up in the era where. And many women are still in this mode of hormones are bad, hormones cause cancer, HRT is dangerous, blah, blah, blah. And now we have new data, we have new research, we have research that's been going on for a while now, that we have new information. So that being said, what I just said, as important it is, that's wonderful, but not always for all women can protect your bones, protect your heart, protect your brain, right? So we mentioned replenishing, replacing your hormones, and HRT is not replacing hormones. It's topping up what you already have. Okay. It's not saying switching this for that. We have estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, even postmenopausal. So very, very low, but we can sort of top them up to a state that's protective and helps us age better. And of course, every woman has to talk to their doctor about these things, but I think the combination of this is actually superpower. However, there is a window of time when it comes to this. It's an art, so you can't just go and, oh, Zora said, this sounds like anti-aging medicine, like I'm going to get on hormones. Like, no, it's not that simple. It's something to consider, to be open about, to do your research. Because my objective is to really bring my risk of diseases as close to zero as possible. And when you're in this sweet spot with the hormones, that really, really helps us. When you're too low, you're at risk. When you're too high, you're at risk. So we just want to be in this protective mode. Because what women are thinking about in terms of hormone therapy, and I hate the word replacement therapy, that's why I call it menopause support or hormone therapy, because it's different.
Yeah, I agree.
And we they go, oh, I just want to stop my hot flashes. I'm suffering. And yes, that's important. Yes, we need to get rid of those symptoms. Yes, we want to have more libido. Yes, we want to have a better life. But the doctors that are really into the menopause medicine, they say that's wonderful, but we want to keep you protected for life. So that's a good doctor, I think, is an objective, is that not just, let's just, you know, slap a Band-Aid on this symptom, but they should do the research, look at what's happening, what's coming out there, and protect those women who are out there.
Isn't that helpful now? This discussion is. And I'm thinking, you know, for the younger generation, people like, you know, we're even in a room here, you know, with Sam and Amy, who does the videos, hearing this as young women going, moving forward when it comes that time, their conversations and you know, you don't say HRT, all that's available. And it's not sort of like taboo. It's not sort of like, oh, it's just like, wow, this is a great thing. And, you know, so it's wonderful that this now is just an open book and being discussed. Like it wasn't even really so much in our time, let alone your mum's time and my mum's time.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's one thing I'm finding in my reels is that when I ask women about, one of the questions I've been asking in Vietnam are have you spoken to your own children about this? And they, most of them said, yeah, I talked, you know, their daughters mostly, but yeah, that was a good thing to hear.
The other thing is a few women were talking the other day to me about the measurement of your hormones. Like, how do you gauge that? Can you ever have too much or too little? Like how do they gauge it? Is it blood tests?
Yes.
How does that work?
So a doctor would generally, so I'm doing the training, the menopause method training with the Institute of Bioidentical Medicine. So they're a little bit biased, right? I mean, they're training their doctors it's a doctor's training program. They just allowed me to take it. So I'm learning a lot about how actually doctors are approaching their clients and how they're treating them and how to test. So a doctor would approach the first thing to do is, what are your symptoms? Let's look at your symptoms. Let's look at your blood work. And they're not just looking at estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. They're looking at your thyroid health. They're looking at cortisol. They're looking at insulin. They're looking at a lot of things because it's not just that. And then if they prescribe it, then they would have them start a program, a protocol with whatever it is that they think they should be using, because there's estradiol, there's estriol, there's different types of estrogens, there's different formulations and different ways to approach it. And then they would have them back usually about 4 weeks later and say, how are you feeling? Okay. And during that visit, they had them take a test, other tests that includes urine. Okay. Some doctors prefer dry urine tests. Some people prefer 24-hour urine tests, but they usually look at the urine to see how those hormones are metabolizing, because you can see how what your levels are. And forget blood testing estrogen and progesterone in perimenopause, because there's so much fluctuation here. It's going to be one day up and one day down. They like to see then, okay, let's just see how they're behaving, because we have estrogen pathways. We have good pathways that are safe and wonderful for us. And there's bad pathways that are pro-cancerous, and we don't want the bad pathway to be activated. And that's whether you're on hormones or not on hormones, because you have your own estrogen. If you have excess body fat, that's a great storage for estrogen. Okay. And you may be estrogen dominant in producing that. But then at the same time, if that's not metabolizing well in your body, well, then it could be going down a toxic pathway, and we don't want that. So that's why doctors have to test and measure and assess and
do doctors do that, or specific doctors you've got to go to?
Yeah, unfortunately, most doctors don't do that.
It's a big question.
It's a good question. Yeah,
things are changing, which is good. And I think your conversation, you're putting it out there too.
That's positive. Typical. That's Nicola. Yes. And that's a very positive take on that. Yeah. You know, like things are changing slowly, but changing.
Yes,
and you're creating change.
Thank you. Not the Zoras of the world.
Zoras creating awareness.
Sit you out.
Awareness. You know, when you came on our podcast, I can't tell you the ripple effect that I've had from feedback from people going, I've actually gone to see my doctor. And now I'm, you know, like it is. Yeah,
that's the Spanish.
I'm so glad. It's just, you know, I'm not telling people go on hormone therapy. No, I'm just telling them to learn about it, discuss it with their doctor, and talk about the risks versus the benefits. And then you make a decision. But being blind, putting your head in the sand, going, no, that's bad and that's dangerous and that's causes cancer, is ignorant. And it's
the more you talk about it, the better, the more attention that will, and more money, research and whatever. And it's an ongoing wonderful ripple effect for our benefit.
Yeah. Okay. We've got like 5 minutes left, and you know,
Okay.
Shoot.
We haven't got a wind up from Sam.
Shoot from the stars, baby. You ask us anything. We're open books here. Over the back fence. If anyone wants to know what Aussies, anything from our Aussie friends here.
Yes. Oh, is there anyone thinking they want to jump in at all if they're listening? They have questions.
I don't know if there's anything there, but I tell you what, we're really excited being Australia, you know, from here out to planet Earth, you know, like globally, it's fantastic. So
we all need to be interconnected globally now more than ever.
Yeah.
It's a one world, right?
I've got two questions for you girls.
One is, I want you to let me know what your bone density is like, if you've taken a test, and your muscle mass, and how that's changed in from peri to postmenopause.
Well, I think Nicola answered that one with
I've had that because I found out that, you know, like with, I had to have a new hip replacement. And that came as an absolute shock. Yes, I did have a fall, which might have triggered it earlier. But really, when I did do all my scans and my bone, I thought I'd have the strongest bones ever. You know,
I'm a great golfer.
Yeah, I'm a golfer. I play sport. I eat cheese. I'm
great at my weights or
whatever.
Too.
Little wine that turns into water. But I tell you what, it was fairly low, and that rocked me. So that was sort of something there. So it's not that bad. So I've had a hip replacement. I've got to say, and I know Zora, you know, you put it out there that you're going through alternative methods at the moment, which is terrific. Mm. I went the complete the other way and had like the full operation, and I just scream hallelujah! It was the best thing for me. I recovered in no time, and I was back dancing on tables and
literally,
So
get down, Nicola. You just had an operation. Oh, it'll be
so. But actually, it's an ongoing thing. I had it then, and with all the testing there, I'm just going to be keeping it up. The life.
Yeah, but you can also have hip issues and have great bone density like me. So it's not necessarily. True. That's why you got to get that.
I've got DEXA scan. Good bone density. I don't know why.
Yeah. I don't know. Things happen, but
might be the one. Yeah,
your density is good, Di.
Yeah.
You got a good bone density.
So that was 2 years ago, though. Things might have
changed. So how often would you recommend that you should get tested?
Once a year. Once a year. Okay. Unless
Thank you for that. I actually didn't know that.
Good tip.
Yeah.
Once a year.
2024.
And you start, like, get your daughters on this as well, bone density scans, even in their 20s, and they can do it.
And what tips do you say to increase? What tips do you say to increase for bone density?
Oh, that's a whole other podcast.
Oh, okay, baby.
It's a lot of podcasts.
Okay, Sam, there's a bone density podcast coming ahead, baby.
We're coming ahead. Okay, shoot another question. Anything you want.
What's another one?
What about the muscle mass? Have you noticed anything with the muscle mass? And has there found any tricks or tips or anything that we can to keep it?
All I know is that people are taking Ozempic are having troubles with their muscle mass.
No, your muscle mass. Well, what is your muscle mass?
Mine's
like,
fine.
Pre and post.
No, but I'll tell you. No.
Like, did you notice any change pre and post? That's all.
Not really, but I don't know, but I tell you what, maybe. I'm more aware now of really doing and using the weights and increasing that as I age, because I know how important it is. Whereas I guess when you're younger, you just keep on rolling it and you have to worry about it. But I certainly make a pointed effort of doing, you know, getting the weights and sort of doing this sort of stuff and doing that nearly every day, you know. So, yeah, I mean, look,
a little bit too low,
but, you know.
And it's the same. I mean, it's not difficult to build. I mean, it's fine. No. Yeah,
it's important. It's on our radar. It's definitely on our radar. And I suppose like anything.
People fall over 70. They just fall and major things happen from that minute on.
Yeah.
So I think if there's anything I can personally say to people listening, wherever you are in the world I can't afford the gym or I haven't got time for the gym. Well, pick up a can of beans. There is no excuse. In your house, pick up the iron. Oh, I haven't got one of those, but something like that.
Whatever it is
in the iron. Like a soft drink.
Got a steamer and I love it.
I wouldn't mind a steamer because they're easy to use. It's just I don't like going that way. I like that way.
It's really great.
That could be naughty. But where the hell were we? Yeah, a bottle of soft drink. You know what I mean? There's no excuses. Lift it with your legs. Lift it with your arms. There's always a way around it.
But it's a good awareness and it's great you've asked the question.
Yeah.
It's sort of something we have to keep on as we age. Keep on letting us know the importance of it because you can tend to forget.
Champagne bottles heavier.
Let's take those wine bottles instead of drinking them.
Imagine someone walking in. Champagne's coming. Just give me a minute.
I try to jump the back fence sometimes with Jai, you know, that we've got there.
All right, girls.
Let's
have a quick chat about your podcast. Let's tell people about it and what it is. You've got so many fabulous and interesting guests from all over the world. Have you found any common themes with them? Share a little bit about it.
Inspirational people. No matter who they are, what they are, what they do for a career, who they are as a person, as long as at the end of the day, they can leave some sort of some pearls of wisdom and attempting to inspire someone that's listening. And that's how we started it because that's, to me, you know, we all have down times and we all have times when we're flat and we all have times of why me should or whatever's. And then if it can take one person, most random person, telling you their story and how they overcame adversity, and the whole world can change. I know it's happened to me many a time. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know,
everyone's got a story, and every single person that we've had on, we love because we love everyone's story. And that's what life's about. Everyone's got their own story, good, bad, and it's acknowledging that and then trying to find like the light in it, you know, the uplifting, the motivation thing in it, even though acknowledging when it's been tough and we all go through the rotten times. Yeah. But sometimes going through that times brings a big transition in your life. And I think sometimes going through the worst times, you can stick in it or you can transform. Mm-hmm. And I think that your transformation, you know, you can grow through the toughest times.
Yeah.
So I think with all of us, a lot of the guests that we've had have gone through some tough times, and you're not always, they're not always out because it's a life process of going through that. But I think that's sort of a thing for us that, you know, everyone's, so it's lovely hearing their journey and sort of trying to sort of find that shite.
You know, 50s and 60s too. Like, you know, that's as Nicholas said, massive transition.
Exactly. We're interviewing a lady who's 103 coming up.
So yeah, we are. She's the most, I mean, I just heard her on a podcast. I thought, wow, you are beyond an inspiration.
We had two 28-year-old young men, you know, like who are just amazing. And
ask her about her menopause experience.
Yeah. And also, I think, you know, to your point, Zora, which you said when we asked you the question about what advice you'd give to your 20-year-old self is the people-pleasing. I think the other thread that we've had throughout the entire podcast for us is stop people-pleasing. And I think that's with age. It comes to the point of just going, actually, I don't have to do that for everyone else because you're scared you wanted them to like you.
Yeah.
And then you realize going, that's not serving you. So you've got to serve yourself, and being an ex-flight attendant, as they say, you know, put that life mask, you know, like put that oxygen mask on yourself first, then you can give it to others. I know it's corny, but that's sort of a thing that we've found as a thread for so many people that we've interviewed.
Don't worry about getting old. Worry about thinking old. To me, that's my definite new motto.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's gold. Privilege age is, it's a privilege to be alive.
You hear people that are thinking old. You just hear it and you go, oh, no, you've got to turn that one around.
You're absolutely right. I don't think you realize it, but there's a lot of research on that. And I could go on to a whole explaining it, but yes, the thoughts in your head.
Sam just looked at her watch, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to go into it, but true. Wow. You're absolutely shy. Aussie girls are shy. What you just said.
Thanks, Zora, because I really believe that.
Great. But is that the lucky last question? Or is there anything
else you you're going to have one last word, but I want to share, everybody, please go and check out Over the Back Fence podcast.
Oh,
you also have great little reels on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. I'll have links to this in the show notes. And before I let you go, do you have any last words for a woman going through menopause?
I think I have to repeat, attitude. It's like, I really believe that this is my lot. You know, I am not a doctor. You know, I'm not medically inclined, but I do know as I've got older, with age comes wisdom, is what you think your body becomes too. So if you're going through all of that, change the rhetoric rather than being the victim. Change the way that you are thinking about it. And you might find that you're going to be heading, what do we say, for the stars. You change your whole direction.
And yeah, I second that, but I've got to add to that saying also, seek advice and help, and because it's out there now and through people like yourself, because I don't think it was really there. Yeah,
don't
for me
suffer
now.
In silence.
So don't suffer in silence. There's now, you know, it's so, I'd say seek help too.
Yeah. Everyone's open to it these days.
And talk about it.
Yep. And thank you, Zora,
for making
you do for so many women going through menopause. Seriously. Yeah. You're a great leader in the.
You've helped us.
Yeah, you're a trailblazer.
And
you really
young
are.
People and older
and I admire
people.
You.
Oh, I love you, girls. Yeah. I love you.
Take my age over the back fence. And hey, when are you coming out to Australia, Zora?
Yes.
I know. 2024. We're gonna hack my age Thomas? Over the back fence.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
Stage. Okay. Yeah.
We'll get Zora sitting on our backs.
Yes.
That's going to be a very difficult struggle.
That will be fun. We'll get Sam in there too. We'll get Amy doing the videoing. So it'll be great. But thank
Zora,
you.
Zora,
so
we love
much.
You. And we love
it. And we're honored to be on your podcast and to meet all these people from all around the world. Come and come and join and listen to Over the Back Fence. Tell your friends. And we always go share, rate, and review. We go, how many stars? How many stars should Zora get, Dottie?
Zora, oh God, 5,000 out of 5.
I think so.
Really.
Yeah.
Go and hit
you're, you're the queen of stars, Zora. We love you so much.
Thanks, Zora, for today.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. And that's a great reminder. Yeah, please, everyone, go and rate the show. 5,000 stars minimum, as Di says. Wonderful. I'm so grateful that you're part of my life. Honestly, it's just the love is so strong, and I can't wait to see you. Thank you for making time to be on the podcast and sharing your wisdom, your light, your positivity, your attitude about menopause, everything with our audience here. So have a wonderful day or good night. Towards
Merry Christmas, Australia. Zora.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Coming up to that time of the year too.
And we look forward to seeing you in 2024.
Exactly. Yeah.
I know.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much, Zora. We love you and we love our friendship for life.
Aw. Bye-bye.
Hey, did you enjoy the podcast? Don't forget to subscribe to be notified of all the new episodes and leave a review to help build the tribe. It's a small act of kindness that brings me big benefits and helps others find this amazing content. The best thing you can do is share. Sharing is caring. Statements made on this podcast have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Anything we say or products we mention are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Information provided by this podcast is not a substitute for personal medical advice and not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It is intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from the personal research and experience of me and my guests.